don't he? Reading this morning about David, he's over in that cave, Adullam, and a bunch of misfits. Some of them couldn't pay the bills. Some of them wanted by the law. That fits our crowd here today. You say, ain't never been wanted by the law. Well, I was wanted enough by them for me and you both. I think they're still looking for me sometime. Every time I pass a police car, I look to see if he's going to follow me. It's reading out like blue light specials at Walmart. Reminds me of a police car behind me with that blue light. I didn't get those specials when they stopped me. Amen. Just glad to be saved, ain't you? It's a good place to be at church. Love the Lord today. Say amen. My son, he's fixing to take our church. Some of y'all might not know that, but everybody's asking, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to keep doing exactly what I've always done. I'm going to keep preaching. And I'm not going to beat no doors down if somebody wants me to preach. And they'll call me. And I believe that's where it ought to be. And God gets you into this thing, he's sure able to open door and close doors. Amen. And if he don't, then I'll go with Brother Dorman and we'll just travel the countryside. We fix to go to Hades Thursday and over back to the Dominican Republic and back. And phone's been ringing, got some meetings already set up. So glory to God. Amen. You say, you're too old. Well, I was kind of old when I got in this thing. Amen. But I got to reading about Caleb this morning. Amen. And I want to preach on him today. And Joshua chapter 14, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. And I didn't know where I'd preach today. Brother Edward ain't called me or nothing, and I'm glad of that. I just seem not to know if I'm going to preach. I'm going to be ready if I do go to a meeting. I might have to pull out an old biscuit, brother. You know, sometimes a pretty old biscuit's pretty good, especially if you ain't had nothing to eat for a week or two. Amen. Fellow told me one time, he said, what kind of dog food do you feed your dog? I said, cheapest thing I can buy. He said, my dog won't eat that. I said, mine wouldn't either for the first month. I told him at church, what makes a steak real good is we ain't had one in about 2 years. He said, my steak ain't good no more. Well, you eat one every day, it ain't no good. Son, peanut butter cookies was like, man, they were like silver dollars when I was coming along. My Lord, we raked the yards, mowed the grass, cut the limbs, just to make our sister make us some peanut butter cookies. Now, you said, I can't believe y'all do all that. Well, that's the reason you youngers don't do nothing, because you feed them peanut butter cookies every day. You take them peanut butter cookies away, they might get out here and mow the grass. Amen. Amen. I ain't preaching on that. That's good, ain't it? Joy was preaching Sunday night out of Genesis 22. And I shared this with my pastor. And he kind of didn't know where I was going with it, but I shared it with Dean McNeese, and he got all excited. And Genesis 22, I'd never seen this, Brother Mike. It said, Abraham laid the wood on his son Isaac. And I thought about that for a minute. That thing hit me. I said, Abraham laid the wood on his son Isaac. That was a sacrifice. Because of his love for the Savior. That proved that he loved him. The Bible said Abraham believed God. But then I told Brother Dean, I said, Brother Dean, I think about that and I look at Calvary and God laid his son on the wood. Because of his love for the sinner. You say, what's the difference? I don't know. I told him to figure it out. Brother Dean said, I'll preach that. You know, he loves crazy stuff like that anyhow. And he'll make a message out of that. Amen. So I'll give you something to think about, Brother Mike. Amen. Joshua chapter 14. Stand and stretch your legs just a minute. We'll try to get into the message. Old Caleb's an old man right along this time. But I want to preach on some things Caleb never lost. Caleb never lost. Caleb never forgot. And us as preachers, pastors, and I've been pastor of Swamp Road over 20 years, and down the line, you ain't real careful, you'll forget about some things and you'll lose some things.
Sure.
Amen, Brother Terry?
Yes, sir.
I've lost my hair. Can y'all tell it? But I ain't lost my good looks, sister. I still got them. Amen. My wife tells me every day, you're a good-looking man. You say, well, that's in the eyes of the beholder, and thank God it is, because she's my wife. Amen. Now, I'd get a little offense if you told me you was a good-looking man. Wouldn't you, brother? Your wife told me I was a good-looking man. You might get a little beside that. Amen. Joshua chapter 14. I would say what Edward's wife told me. Well, she told Edward and Edward told me because he can't keep a secret. Me and him go a lot together. We go everywhere together. We spend a lot of time in motel rooms together. And his wife one day said, Brother Edward, or said, Edward, did you know that you spend more time in the motel room with Joe Sampson than you do me? I said, because he loves me more. But there are two beds. Glory to God. Amen. All right, Joshua, I ain't got but 20 minutes. I want to obey my pastor. Bible said in Joshua chapter 14, and verse number 5, the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, did, and they divided the land, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh or something like that, the Kenzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet hast trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Amen. Could you say that today, that you've wholly followed the Lord? I want to give you some things why he wholly followed the Lord. Verse number 10, Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake these words unto Moses. According to that, now he's about 85 years old at this point. Amen? Try to help you today. The time's short. Brother, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you'd help me today to help the brethren that's here today, Lord, because you know my ability. God, I haven't got a lot of sense and a lot of anything. God, I've got a lot of you. God, thank you. You give me all that I need according to your riches and glory. Father, bless the message today. You know I can't preach without the power of God. Lord, no man can, he'll just be sounding brags from a tinkering cymbal. One thing I do know, Lord, the older I get, the more I know that I need to depend on the Spirit of God. Father, you help me today. I pray, I plead, I beg for utterance and unction to preach your word. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's children say. Here, you can be seated, verse number 6 through 9. Here was a promise that Caleb never forgot. 45 years prior to this, God had given Caleb a promise. He told, or the man of God had given it to him through God. My friend, if we ever gonna benefit from God and stay with God, my friend, and never turn to the left and turn to the right, there's one thing we got to do. We got to remember the promises that Caleb remembered. How many believe the promises of God today? My friend, God has given us a book. My pastor one time was here, and he said, Brother Gorman, how many promises did you say was in the Bible? They just a pile of them, ain't they? But them promises, my friend, are no good except, my friend, we take them and apply them to our lives. Somebody say amen. A promise, my friend, is something somebody gives you, my friend, but he's got to have enough power to back it up. I could promise Edward $1 million, but now that's a promise, but he ain't going to ever get it. Because I ain't got it to give him unless I win the lottery and I don't play the lottery. But my friend, all the promises of God are yea and not nay. My friend, God has promised us, my friend, he's promised provision. Amen, amen. You know what? You know what? We get down and out sometimes, but God promised you food and raiment to be there with content. So when we get out of that realm, my friend, we think God has failed in His promises. Well, God didn't never promise to pay your light bill. He told you to get a job to pay your light bill. Amen. Well, God, why don't you do this? God promised you food and raiment, my friend. And we get out from them realms of that promise, my friend, we forget to wholly follow the Lord. Come on now. So I heard a preacher this week. He said, tithing ain't biblical. He said, it ain't in for us in our day and time. I wonder what they're going to do Friday if they didn't give him a check. Reckon he keep on preaching? Come on now. You can't pay the preacher without tithing off. You can't pay the light bill. You can't run the air conditioning. My friend, there are some things, my friend, you got to look at and say, well, that's God, if I don't do this, God ain't going to do this. You ought not to never expect God to do the supernatural until you do the natural. Amen. Caleb done the natural things, my friend, and God gave him some promises. And them promises, my friend, Caleb never forgot. Ain't you glad of that? God told me when He saved me, He said, Joe Chancy, I'll never leave you or never forsake you. So that ought to bear in my mind that everywhere I go, every place I plant my feet, every picture I watch on TV, every song I listen to, God is there with me. That'll keep you out of some dark places, and that'll keep you where you ought not to go if you remember this one thing. God is with me. That's a promise. God ain't going to never leave us, brother. Amen. You say, boy, I went through some dark places. David did in the valley of the shadow of death, and he said, the Lord's with me. Amen. I love Brother Edwards' daughters. I preached the funeral of them two babies, or had a part in it. And I never heard her whine or complain and say, God, why did you do this? I'm serving, I'm singing, I'm going, hey, God, give us some promises. My friend, that them babies that left here, you can do like David said, I can't bring you back. Hey, but I can go to where you at, because I got a promise. Got too many promises to fail God or to lose our way and say, the Lord, we're not following the Lord wholly anymore. Amen. Number two, we look in verse number 10 and verse number 11. There was a tower Caleb never lost. Come on now. Preachers ought to never lose that power with God. My friend, there ought to be a power that when God saved you that's in you, that ought to always be a stirring. Come on now. I watched Terry Sellers back when I was a young man preach with the power of God. And I've seen him preach in the old days still with that same power. I've seen some of you lose that, my friend. What's happened to that power, my friend? Did we forfeit it? Or did we get so tied up with the world that we did like Samson is when he got up to fight the Philistine and said, he wished not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. God saved me, my friend, by His power. In John 1:12, that day when I believed on His name, He said, as many as believe on me, to them gave I power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on my name. God's going to give me power to become a son of God. But my friend, He's given me power to rescue them wicked, ungodly sinners out of the clutches of the devil. You say ain't nobody getting saved. It's because we forgot the power. You need to quit studying 24 hours for an outline and get on your face and ask God for some Holy Ghost power. That's what He told them disciples. He said, when that power comes upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. My friend, that's because ain't nobody getting saved, because we forfeited the gospel. My friend, when we look at Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. My friend, when somebody comes and bows down an old altar, we ought to have enough confidence in the Word of God and the Spirit of God that God's going to birth that sinner into the family of God. Acts 26:18, I want you to look there right quick. Waddell Moody, my friend, he wasn't an educated man, but he prayed for the power of God. We've learned to do it without it. I must be the only old time preacher in here, son, I still believe in the power of God. Son, that Holy Ghost that come on me that day and birthed me into the family of God, I've longed for that ever since I've got born again. I'm telling you, it's not by might or not by power, but it's by thy Spirit. So ain't nothing going to get done without the sweet Holy Ghost. You can believe that. You say, well, I got the Bible. Son, the letter killeth, but the Spirit is what gives life. And my friend, when we preach the truth of God's Word, that Holy Ghost comes along and breathes on it and gives it power. Because that's what it does. That's what He's there for. That's the third part of the Trinity. Look in Acts 26:18. And the Bible said there in this verse, He said, and to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to gun to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Old Paul was standing before Agrippa. You know why them folks trembled around Paul? Because of the power he possessed. When's the last time sinners trembled around you? Brother Dorminey's son and grandson were trying to buy a truck this week. I told Stanley, I said, Stanley, I can get that truck for $20,000. He said, Brother Joe, he said, if you could, it'd be a blessing. He wanted $22,900. I said, well, I get through with him. I said, he about want to give it to you. Son, that joker gets the fear and the trembling when I get around him. He said, you scared me to death, preacher. I was trying to buy a church van one time, and I looked at him. I said, there's a room full of people. I said, Jesse, guy, when's the last time you give God a nickel? He said, just give him the van and get him out of here. He said, he scared me to death. Hey, there ought to be some fear and trembling around sinners when they walk around the presence, my friend, with a man that's got some power of God. Right. Tony Thomas has got a good friend. The other day I went met him up there, and he's a cussing and raising Cain. And I looked at him and I said, son, I don't know about you, but the God I've served has been real good to me, and I ain't got no complaint. He said, next time Tony seen him, he said he liked to knock the end of his finger off. He said, but he didn't cuss. Scared him to death. Caleb, there was a promise he never forgot. There was a power he never lost. You know what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:5? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it ought to stand in the power of God. I don't care how smart a fellow is. He ain't got no power. I don't want to be around him. I don't care if he can quote from Genesis or Revelation, son. I want somebody with some power around me. Are you listening to me? 1 Corinthians 4:19 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Ephesians 3:7 says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of the power of God. That's what makes a minister. That's what makes ministering to the sinners makes them fear and tremble. How about you? You lost some things along the way? If you forgot some things along the way? Come on now, y'all with me today? I ain't preaching heresy up here. You know when I pray, when I get up in the morning, I say, God, you don't fail me. I'm going to fail you. Brother Rick, the reason we fail God is because we put too much emphasis. Paul said, I don't put no trust in this flesh. Put no confidence in this flesh at all. People say, you ought to get up behind the pulpit with confidence. No, you ought to get up with fear and trembling. Confidence in the flesh will fail you. How many found that out already this morning? How about you, preacher? You ever found out this will fail you? Not only have we seen the promise he never forgot, the power he never lost, but there's a place he never forgot. Look in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. I'm excited about Swamp Road, ain't you, Brother Dorman? I got sense enough to know that I've carried it as far as I can carry it. You know, it takes more faith to back out of that thing than it did to start it. Brother Mike, it's hard to back away. Sometimes you got to find out, hey, Dean Mate, he's told me, he said, anybody over 40 years old don't need the pastor, he said, to get in evangelism. But Dean's a young man who's got a lot of sense. Takes them off some zeal and fire. He said, that's because you quit. I ain't quitting. Son, I ain't moved my feet till God told me to move it. My pastor 2 years ago told me, said, ain't it time Joy took over? Where'd he get that from? Listen to God. Sunday morning, the house was packed. The Spirit of God was moving. 4 sinners got saved. Because I backed off. I ain't forgot the promise you made me. Brother Terry said, the first Sunday you ain't got no place to preach, he said, you be at my church. When I walk in there, sucker, sit down. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Hey, we got a mountain. I ain't lost sight of that mountain. Okay, so that mountain was promised to me 45 years ago, and I still want that mountain. God's promised me and you sinners, son. He's promised us a mountain full. He said, why don't you look on the fields that white the harvest? There's a mountain of sinners out there. He said, hey, who's going to go out there and get them? He said, pray the Lord to harvest. He'll send somebody to harvest them in. There's a mountain full of sinners. He said, boy, if I can get some more wisdom, that's what's wrong with you. The Jews sought for a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. To the Jews, it was foolish. To the Greeks, it was what? It was foolish. The other one was something else. About your mountain. Have you lost sight of that mountain? My wife said, what you going to do, preacher? What you going to do? What are we going to do? That's our livelihood. I said, honey, did God not take good care of us before we ever started the church? I said, it didn't have nothing when we started, did it? She said, no. And I said, we ain't going to have nothing this thing's over. Somebody's horn blowing the horn out there. They must have some power. What about your mountain? You lost sight of it? He said, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were fenced, and to be the Lord to be with me, that I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I want you to look at number 4, and I'm closing here, in verse number 14. Horeb therefore became the inhabitants of Caleb, the son of who? Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the Bible said, and there in verse 15, and the last of that, he said the land had rest from war. There was a peace Caleb found in that place. You see, when I brought Joy in a few months ago, assistant pastor, and I told him that night, I didn't vote on it. Hello. God didn't send them down the Strong Swamp Road. He sent me. And I stood up. My pastor was here tonight. I stood up and I said, I'm bringing in Joy as my assistant pastor. I said, in a few months, he'll be pastor. And that's all it was said. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, turn the hearts of the people towards him. And pastor, they have. From my deacon down, the hearts of the people turned towards him. You say, what happened? I was waiting on this one thing. I was waiting on the peace of God. I went home that night, Brother Terry, and I've been as happy as I've been in a long time. Because he wholly followed the Lord. Real love, never stand behind that pulpit and waste our time. you know good as I do, that when you get up there, you wholly need the Lord. Brother Mike, we'll hurt people. We ain't full of God. Sinners will leave lost. We ain't full of God. The Waddell Moody, y'all read the story. I'm done, Brother Edward. Said he had two little old Methodist ladies used to come to his meeting and sit on the front row. And they said, Brother Moody, we're praying for you. Brother Moody said, don't be praying for me. Pray for them sinners. They said, no, we're praying for you, Brother Moody. He said, what are y'all praying for? He said, you get full of the Holy Ghost. You see, they knew he wasn't full. They knew he was a good preacher. They knew he needed something extra. He said, I got mad with him. You must have read the book too. He said, I got mad with him. He said, one day I went home with him. Our problem is we go back to that spot when God first healed us, and we think that's going to be enough for the journey. Bible says, Samson got up as other times. God don't give you the Holy Ghost because you're a good man. He gives it to you because of your importunity. That means you need it more this time than you needed it last time. I told the Lord Sunday night, I went home, I said, Lord, I don't want to ever preach again. Never. I'm just going to stick to the gun. I just ain't going to do it. He said, well, you did today. I made an exception.